And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison. I want to thank you for tuning in, and it's my privilege to join you today. I've been investing in both single-family and multifamily real estate for more than 14 years now, and the time has gone by quickly. It's been a blast. I really am so happy I learned effective real estate investing through the teachings at Lifestyles Unlimited. Now, today, for the show today, I want to talk about a recent article. Seems to be getting a lot of attention in the investor community. Really, I'm going to talk about below market rents, rising costs, and three reasons to invest in rentals. So stick with me to the end. But this article, this piece was on MSN Money. It was under the headline, Real Estate Investors Using Rental Income to Achieve Financial Independence Make the Case for Charging Below Market Rents. That was interesting. Really, the article highlights a handful of investors, and they've reached what many of us may refer to as financial independence. And they've reached it not by pushing rents to the max, but by purposely charging a little less than the market rate. This article is by Kathleen Elkins, again, MSN Money, and originally it was on Business Insider. So let's give credit where credit's due. In short, these investors say they'd rather have long-term stable tenants. And I hate the word tenant. Really, I like the word resident. I just think there's a connotation to, you know, words have meanings. And we care about our residents. We care about our properties. It's a business. And it's part of our business plan, but I'll use the words in the article as they're written. But it says, in short, these investors say they'd rather have long-term stable tenants who stay put and take care of the property rather than chase every last dollar of rent. I will tell you both can be true at the same time, but let's look at their strategy. But really, they're claiming that their strategy helps them avoid high turnover. And it doesn't really go into where their rental properties are. Location's very important. Good economy. If you have a good economy and good demand, that takes care of a lot of issues. So they may be in an area where there's not a heck of a lot of demand. I don't know. But they want to avoid high turnover. They want to keep occupancy up and still hit their personal cash flow goals. Well, yeah, of course. And one of the investors, they use what they call, they refer to it as a binder strategy. And so when they have somebody that shows up that wants to rent their particular property, this person actually breaks out a binder and says, here's a property for rent in the area. Here's a property for rent in the area. Here's a property for rent in the area. They're all renting for this price or this price or this price. And here's my property and I'm renting for this price. And that person said that it helps them build trust potentially at the very beginning with a potential resident. I don't mind that plan. I don't think that's a bad plan. It seems rather time consuming. Bottom line is where they're going is they'll limit annual rent hikes no more than 5%, and they'll even skip increases in oversaturated markets. So what they're doing is prioritizing retention over short-term revenue growth. Let's take a look at this strategy a little deeper. I reviewed it and I found three positives and three negatives on this approach, and I'll go through each of those in the next segments and put those into context. What that means in regards to building wealth with rental property, what this show's all about, right? The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, here at Lifestyles Unlimited, we have our own strategy. It's not so different, but it is different. We call that strategy best product at the best price, managed by the best people. all three of those legs of the stool, if you want to call it that, are equally important to the success as a rental owner. Let's take, if you have the best property in a neighborhood or the best product in a neighborhood, but it's poorly managed, what good is that doing you? You're going to upset people. You may not have the demand, especially if word gets out that this is a terrible owner. Best price, that's important too. Let's say you have, there's a lot of folks that get into rental property in the beginning and they think, well, I need hardwood floors and crown molding, and they go above and beyond thinking that they can get $300 or $400 more for that product because it is nicer. But the fact is that strategy just doesn't work. Just because you have all these upgrades, people that are looking to rent aren't necessarily going to pay an extra $300 or $400 a month when they can get something that may not have the crown molding, it may not have the hardwood floors, it may not have the granite, but it's functional and it's clean. There's a guy named Sam Walton. Maybe you heard of him. He started a little company called Walmart. Sam Walton's philosophy was sell to the masses, dine with the classes. He wanted a product that was most appealing to the most people. We want to do the same thing, rent to the masses, dine with the classes, or better than that, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle, right? An occupied property is making money, and unoccupied property is not making money. So my properties, that let's say every home in the neighborhood, the average is $1,600, and you can look online and see what this property's leasing for and that property's leasing for. And you can compare based on square foot of your property versus the other properties. But I'd say about $25 below what the average was, what the ask in the neighborhood was. And it wasn't a lot, but what that strategy did, right? Best product at the best price. So I was following that guidance. It did attract a lot of attention. I always had several folks that wanted to rent my property, more than one. And I got the review based on the screening. So, so important. Do your screening. It's very easy. There's typical third parties that'll do it for you. You can just send your prospective resident to that. They pay something like a $35 fee. And you do your screening, right? Your background check, your credit check, your work history. Right. Let's make sure they really are employed. They're not just telling you they're employed. You can also do your criminal history, your pedophile check. You need to do all those. Very simple. It's very easy these days. You're not having to do all this legwork yourself. You're just sending your resident to that third party vendor and they'll send you back a report. And then you can gauge and compare your prospective residents to your property. But typically my property, I'd come in about $25 less than market. So annually, I was giving up about $300 per year. That's really not much, right? That's nothing. But what did I gain? I gained that attractive audience of people, good people, wanting to rent my home rapidly. I created demand, just like Sam Walton said, right? Sell to the masses, dine with the classes. That's what he said. So I wanted my product to be in demand. If you have a great product, great neighborhood, and it's in demand, the clients will come to you. So it was really worth the $300 for me to do it. And that's similar to what this article talks about. Now, I pulled out three positives. I'll do the three positives now, and then we'll hit the three negatives. As we go through, we'll probably roll into the next segment on those. But let's look at three positives of this below market approach when setting your rent for your property. Number one, just what they said, tenant retention and lower turnover. Turnover is one of the biggest hidden costs. So if you are less, there is a chance that that person wants to stay at your property. It just makes sense. Moving is no fun. We've all moved, right? Pack up your stuff. You got to find another place. Everybody needs a place to lay their head at night. And yes, some people get transferred or they have a life change and they have to move. But if you've got a renter and you've got a good product, it's not unheard of to have that person stay there for multiple years, 3 years, 5 years, 8 years. I see it happen all the time. And so you don't have that hidden cost, that turnover, you know, the lost rent during vacancy, the cleaning repairs, the marketing, maybe even on the new one, the market's changed and you have to offer an additional concession. It's just better to take care of your resident and keep them there for a long time. So if keeping rents just slightly under market, and that's remember that, because I'm going to come back to this on the other side, the dangers in being under market. But if you're just slightly under market, you have the opportunity to keep a resident in place for years. That's a huge win. And here's a sidebar of that. A stable resident is often going to take great care of the property. And again, especially if you're screening and finding the right people. So that's important too. You want somebody taking care of the property. Screening, so important. Find those good people. But nothing would make me happier than in a couple times a year, I drive by the properties, obviously, to go just see how do they look, right? Is the grass out of control? Do we need to cut the trees back? What's going on? But nothing pleased me more than when I would drive by a property, and depending on the time of the year, you might see Christmas lights, you might see Halloween decorations. When you see the hanging plants out, you know, on the front patio or the back patio, that's a good sign. That's somebody that appreciates where they live. That's somebody, chances are, they're going to stay there for some time, right? They've invested in this. This is their home. This is where they're raising their family. This is where they're breaking bread together. So sometimes a discount, if you want to look at it like that, what's cheaper, the cost of constant turnover or a slight discount? Give me the slight discount. Second positive I found with this is just the goodwill. We'll call it lower management headaches. If you've got goodwill with your resident, you're building better relationships. If that resident feels like they're being treated fairly, they're less likely to fight you over small stuff. They're more likely to pay their rent on time. For those, and most investors are what you would call a mom and pop investor. The majority of rental property owned in this country, well, you have the Black Rocks and what have you, these mega companies that own thousands upon thousands of rental homes. At the end of the day, 70% of all rental property is by people who own 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 properties, just mom and pop. So if we're self-managing and we've got somebody that understands the goodwill, understand, hey, we've got a great product and you do have it at a discount. We've got great management in place. It's just going to lead to those fewer headaches. Those aren't the type of people that are going to call you in the middle of the night or what have you. These are normal, decent people. And if they need to call you, they're going to call you during a normal time. When I had my 11 homes at one time and they were stabilized, I might have spent 1 to 2 hours per month managing that rental portfolio, literally. And most of that was doing nothing more than balancing the books and logging the expenses. So when you have low turnover, you're really not working that hard, especially when the property's stabilized.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Want to build income without a second job? Learn how real estate investing can help you create extra income one step at a time with Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike Harrison, talking about this article that dropped on MSN Money and Business Insider. And really the whole idea of the article, they interviewed real estate investors, right? People like myself, that literally this is what they do for a living. They don't have another job. They are real estate investors. They own rental property. But their strategy, and it didn't go into what part of the country they're in, but they keep their properties at a reduced rate, and they say that helps them And a couple of the positives I got out of it, reduced turnover, goodwill with your, these are our clients, right? These are our clients. These are our customers. The residents, if you've got goodwill and you've got a good person, chances are you're going to have a good relationship, right? A lease is a contract at the end of the day. I will provide you a clean, functional property. I'll make repairs as needed, and you will pay your rent on time, and you'll take care of the property as well, and you won't damage it. So those are a couple of the positives. The third positive I found was flexibility in a competitive market, right? There are ebbs and flows. There are markets where the rent is trending up. We saw that quite a bit, 2013 through, I would say, all the way through 2021. Rents went up. They really went up during and after COVID. You know, they flattened out a little bit during COVID, and then all of a sudden, rents started really climbing quickly. And then we've kind of been in a flat rent climb. Flat to, you know, very small increments of rent increases. And again, real estate's local. Just depends on where you are. That metric could be different where you are, but it's local. Real estate's based on where the property is, how the economy's doing, what's the demand, is it saturated with new builds? All those factors play into what's happening with rent growth. But let's say you find yourself in a competitive market. And these investors are saying they're not insisting on maximum annual increases. So if everything's going up, let's say $200 per month, they're saying that they'll cap their hikes at 5%, right? Or even pause them in an oversaturated area. And their whole idea, again, what they're concerned about is fully occupied. If it's an apartment community, they're targeting 95% or higher on the being occupied. That's a great number. If you're at 95 or trending higher than that on your occupied and your properties, or if you've got houses and you've got a 95% occupied rate and that includes turnover, you're doing really good. I prefer 100% occupancy rate on houses, but if you've got a lot of houses, obviously there's one that's going to be vacant at any period of time just from natural people do move and life gets in the way. That strategy, though, what we talked about is what we teach here at Lifestyles Unlimited. And it's counterintuitive to a lot of people listening to me. We're here to make a return. We are doing this for a reason. We want the cash flow. We want the wealth growth. We realize that an empty home pays you nothing. Right? Who is the founder of Southwest Airlines? He knew that the planes on the ground weren't making money. They were only making money when they were in the air. You can apply that principle to your rental property. It's not making money when it's vacant. So if you're keeping it rented to a great person or a great family, knock that one out. Move on to the next one, right? We want positive. We want rents. I had 100% occupancy all the time. And occasionally I'd get a move out every 18 months, every 2 years or so. And then I had a down unit, but didn't take me long to get that unit turned. I was never trashed. You hear these people that don't understand real estate and they're worried about renting a property. And, you know, you hear the stories. My mom's cousin's brother's neighbor rented a property to a biker gang or something like that. And guess what? They destroyed it. Well, I'm not renting to biker gangs. Okay. I'm renting to great people. So when they did move, the turn was pretty quick, right? You know, we might replace a carpet in a room or two, or fix this or fix that, give it a nice clean. Sometimes we'd repaint the interior. You know, it just depends on what has to be done, but you can do all that in 3 weeks. So we want those properties occupied. We're making money more than just the cash flow. We want the mortgage pay down, okay? And that mortgage pay down comes when that property's rented. They pay the rent. You're paying principal, interest, taxes, insurance. Part of that principal is the mortgage pay down, okay? So quietly in the background, that balance owed to the mortgage company is coming down, right? We do keep leverage on our properties. Another note I want to put in here, an empty property will deteriorate quicker than an occupied home, okay? It will deteriorate. If you got a property that's sitting empty, and I've bought properties that have been sitting empty for 6 months, they break down. It's crazy, but an occupied property, somebody taking care of it and watering the, just anything as such as watering the lawn, watering the landscape, little things like that, or noticing if something needs to be fixed. So you don't want empty homes just for the reason that they will deteriorate. Now, here's my three negatives. The first one I found is profit motives and tax concerns. This is a word of caution, right? We want, and it regards the IRS, we want to make sure we are following the law to the T and paying the IRS what the IRS is due. Now, we like real estate because the money we're making in real estate, our obligations to the IRS are much, much less than they are in any other way to make money. But if you have a rental business and there are specific rules around the deductibility of expenses or when a property is rented below market, especially to friends or relatives, okay? So before you go out and slash rents because you think it's going to save you on turnover, there is a tax law wrinkle that can get overlooked. The IRS draws a clear line between a property that is a business asset, and which is what we want as investors, and one that is effectively being provided as a personal favor or below market housing. You hear about these people and, you know, hey, I'm letting my brother live there for free. Well, if you're claiming that as a business asset and say it was a rental property for 4 years prior before you let your brother live there for free, that could get you in hot water with the IRS, believe it or not. So you need to be careful. The IRS says, wants to make sure that, you know, you're running this as a for-profit operation. It's a business. And it's because of the tax benefits we rely on, you know, depreciation, deductions, deducting repairs, mortgage interest, property tax write-offs. There's other losses that offset the income. Those are only available if the property is considered a business run with a profit motive. So if you've got a property and everything's renting for $2,000, and again, you're letting your brother live there for free, or $400 a month, or your friend, or whoever, be careful. Be very careful, because the IRS gets into that. You know, if you do it for a month or two, I'm sure it's no big deal. I'm not a CPA or an accountant, so don't take me at full value when we're dealing with tax laws. Always consult a professional, but need to be careful with that in regard to the IRS. So that was the first negative. Look, it's fine to be 5% below market or just a few dollars below market, but let's not give our properties away because, again, we want to be good stewards with the IRS. Opportunity cost is real, okay? I mentioned I was $25 below rents. So if everything's renting for $1,600 in that area, I would be at $1,575. But let's say a year goes by and everything is now $1,650, $1,700. I'm still going to trend up. If it's $1,650, I'll be at $1,625. That's a $50 a month increase. I'm taking the increases as the market goes up, but there's reasons for doing that. Again, we're in this to make money. So every $50 or $100 a month you're leaving on the table, and compound that over multiple units, that's real money. If your plan is to grow your portfolio and reinvest the cash flow, the way I often talk about in the cash flow snowball, slower growth can set you back. You know, leaving money on the table is real, and we're in this business to grow real wealth. And real wealth isn't just a high net worth on paper. It's cash flow. It's the equity growth that keeps compounding, and that's what eventually is going to let you buy your time back. So every dollar your properties generates, a dollar you can reinvest into the next deal. That's how the snowball grows. If you're intentionally charging $150, $200 less per month than what the market will easily bear, that might not feel like a big sacrifice in the short run, but let's add that up. $150, $200 less per month just so you can stay occupied. And if you're in a good area, you don't have to be afraid of being occupied. Again, if you have the best product at the best price managed by the best people, you're going to have a list of people that want to rent your property. But that's $1,800, $2,400 a year per unit. Multiply that by 5 or 10 units. You're talking 10, 20 grand of annual cash flow you're leaving behind. And again, this is the cash flow that you're going to put into your next deal to grow the cash flow snowball. That's what it's all about. Cash flow, right? It's not a number on paper. It's how much are you getting each and every month? Because that's the fuel for the next acquisition. That 10 to 20,000 might be the next down payment on your next rental or your next multifamily passive invested. So that's how I'm thinking of it. If I'm not capturing that, then my growth curve is slowing down. So like I always say, treat your rentals like a business. A healthy business rewards good customers, in our case, good residents. But a good business is also charging a fair, competitive price for the product it delivers. And again, if you're chronically underpricing, you're not only reducing your current returns, you're starving your own ability to expand, to reinvest, to scale the cash flow snowball. So don't get me wrong. I love building loyalty with residents. I got to know several of my residents pretty good. I've kept great residents for years. I used fair pricing and a good service, but fair pricing is not being the cheapest landlord on the block. And we all know who that is. We all can point to that property, and it's typically a property that's not in great shape. That's not a business plan that I want to be part of. I want nice properties. I want good residents. Nice properties are going to appreciate more. When it comes time to sell or refinance, it's going to be a lot easier to get that done if you've got a nice property. So we're not here to become best friends or to be liked. We're here to create durable wealth. We're here to create an asset base that outpaces inflation. And really, at the end of the day, we're here to free ourselves from trading hours for dollars. So leaving too much money on the table is delaying that freedom. So my challenge is this. If you're considering this strategy, run the math, do the homework, right? Compare the vacancy savings you get by keeping rents a little bit lower. It is a gamble. I kept mine slightly lower, but based on this article, it sounds like they're a few hundred dollars lower. So if the math favors a small discount like I did, great. That's no big deal. It's a business decision. Keep in mind, you're going to go up as the market goes up. But if that math shows that you're starving your wealth-building engine, it's time to rethink your pricing. Now, the third negative I found in this strategy, this is real. Let's just call it inflation and cost pressures. I want you to think about this. Cost pressures. Where am I going here? Property taxes, insurance, maintenance. What have all three of those been doing? They have been rising sharply. I realize property taxes are different by state, but if your rents are lagging too far behind, you know, you're $200 cheaper this year and then the market goes up and you're $250 less per month next year, and then pretty soon after a few years you find yourself $300 or $400 less than the market, it's not like you're going to be able to go to that resident that you built all this goodwill with and go, "Hey, Steve, I know you've been here for 4 years. Man, we got to go up $400 a month on you. I just can't afford the property tax, the maintenance, and the insurance anymore." That's a terrible conversation, and that's a terrible business plan. So don't paint yourself into that corner, right? You're going to risk creating an expectation among your residents that big increases will never come. And it's just going to make it harder to adjust later. Truth is, those increases come, right? Ask some people about what insurance has done in certain areas. It's doubled in many places. It's tripled in, say, the last 10, 12 years in many places. Those are real expenses, and you've got to raise. The insurance goes up. It's just a fact of life. In Texas, we've seen premiums definitely go up. Now, we have hailstorms, we have floods, we have hurricanes, wildfires, litigation. We've got a lot of reasons for that. But insurance has gone up, and we've had to raise rents as a result. Let's talk about property taxes. Texas doesn't have state income tax. So local governments are leaning hard on property tax for, you know, that's where the money goes for the schools, the roads, the services. And every time the appraisal district bumps up the assessed value of our rental properties, the tax bill is climbing right along with it. Yeah, we protest our valuations. Andy Webb's done some really good shows. He's one of the fellow hosts. If you don't know who Andy Webb is, you can look it up. He's done a lot of shows on how to walk through protesting your taxes. And I do so every year on every one of my properties. But bottom line is the overall trend has been upwards. I know owners of rental properties in DFW 10 years ago that had a $4,000 tax bill on that property, and today they're paying $8,000 or $9,000 on that same house. That's a huge shift, and you've got to pass that expense on in your rent. And people always wonder, you see it on the news all the time, rent prices keep going up, but then those same geniuses don't connect A to B to C. I wonder why rents are going up. Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that insurance and property taxes are going up? We've got to pass those on. So when those bills are jumping by thousands of dollars a year, you have to adjust your rent to keep pace. So this strategy that the article outlines, sure, I understand the goodwill. I understand wanting to keep that place occupied for a long time. But at the same time, you need to know what you're doing, okay? Because if you don't, you're going to paint yourself into a corner. You're going to promise an ultra low rent, or you're going to promise no increases, and you're going to take it in the shorts, right? Your resident, they're like, man, I love it. I'm $300 below what everyone else is paying for rent. But at the same time, the owner of that house is getting pinched hard because bills go up. So, the rent you collect isn't just income, okay? It's there to cover rising operating costs. It's there to fund your future growth. And if your expenses rise and your rent stay flat, you are giving yourself a pay cut, and you might find yourself at a negative, right? You know, what does that mean? Well, there are people that own rental property, and I've met them, and usually they're new to lifestyles, or they've come to lifestyles to learn a little more. But I've met people that have owned rental properties, and they say, well, yeah, I owned a rent home and it cost me $400 a month, but I'll just make it up on the sale. No, that's the wrong way to do it. Keep in mind, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.